Good evening. My name's Matt, and I'm one of the ministers here, and we're going to spend a couple of minutes just thinking a bit about that passage we've read and what it means for us today. But to get started, I need your help. Here is a line from a famous song. Can someone please tell me what the last missing word is? Cain? Ah, king. I just can't wait to be king. Now, the question is, who sings the song? Don't know? Who can tell me who sings the song? Yes, yeah, from The Lion King. Who sings it? Simba. Simba, son of Mufasa, king of the Pride Lands, sings this song. Now, the question is, why is Simba singing a song saying, I just want to be king? Well, it's because he's really frustrated. He's a frustrated little lion. He wants to be in charge, but he's not. Listen to some of the other words that he sings in the same song. He says, I want to be king because, well, then there'll be no one saying, just do this. No one saying, well, be there and stop that and see here, free to run around all day, free to do it all my own way. Oh, I just can't wait to be king. Have you ever felt like that? You ever felt like, I want to be king. I just want to be in charge. No responsibility. No one telling me what to do. I'm king. Well, when we come to Christmas, we're reminded of the same truth that Simba learns the hard way. We aren't the king. There's another king that's in charge, and he's a good king. So when we celebrate Christmas, what we celebrate is that Jesus Christ was born the king. And the passage we read tonight, just then, starts with the first visitors that Matthew records visiting Jesus, the king. You've got it in the bulletin. We're going to read it now from the beginning. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? Now these Magi, these wise men from distant eastern countries, they've travelled 1,500 kilometres and they come to Jerusalem and they say, hey, where is the child who's been born king? Now, the idea that a child being born who will one day become king, that's not that new to us. We're used to it, aren't we? In fact, there's two or three kids alive today in Australia who will one day be prime minister. And who cares? No one travels from internationally to visit these kids who are one day going to be prime minister. No one actually cares. But Jesus wasn't born to one day become king. Jesus was born king. He was born as God's appointed king from birth. He wasn't like Simba in the lineage of the king, one day going to be king. He was king from birth. So the question is, how do you respond to a king who's born as the king? Well, we're told in the passage that Herod and the other religious leaders of the time, they were disturbed. Have a look at line 3 in the reading. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. When he'd called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Herod and the leaders are disturbed because God had promised this day would come. I have to admit, there was a time when I was younger when I got a good smack or two from my parents. Usually my sister and I messed around, pushed the boundaries as far as we could, and Mum said, you're getting a smack. Except Mum couldn't do it. She couldn't bring herself to give us a whack. So she said, when your father gets home from work, you're going to get the whack. And my sister and I were scared for 30 seconds, and then you forget about it and you get on with the day. Until you hear the car door bang at 5:30, and you know that Dad's home. And surprise, surprise, he walks in. He says, hi, guys, great to see you. Let's go to your room. And you get, we love you, whack. I knew it was coming. Mum had said it was going to happen. I forgot all about it until I heard the car door. Well, the religious leaders and King Herod at the time, they're just like that. They knew that God was sending his king, but they didn't care. But all of a sudden, they're disturbed because, well, this might be it. Maybe this is the king that God promised. It is the king God promised. He'd come. But he didn't come to give the smack that I deserved. He came to be a shepherd, you'll read there. a shepherd. Now, I was driving around Lake Munger last year on the way to Subiaco Oval for a good old football match. And the worst thing that can possibly happen on the way to a football match at Subiaco Oval is that you see a police car with its lights on blocking the lanes of Lake Munger Drive, stopping me getting to the football match. And so I was driving, approaching the ground, and there's this police car, lights flashing, traffic banks. And in fact, the police officers were out of the car on the other side, stopping the traffic coming the other way. And I thought, oh no, this must be a serious accident. But it wasn't. This is what it was. A lot of tiny pesky ducks, cute now but not at the time, stopping me getting to the football match. But the cute little ducks needed help. They needed a police officer to stop traffic in both directions for 10 minutes so they could safely get across the road. The ducks needed a shepherd, someone to care for them to make sure they got across the road safely. Well, this passage tells us that Jesus is that shepherd. He's here to shepherd God's people safely into God's kingdom. So Jesus was born king, he was born a shepherd. He's here to shepherd God's people safely into the kingdom of God. So what do you do when you find out that there's actually one king who's still king, who's in charge, one who was born as king and always will be? Well, in this passage we find two responses, and I think they're typical of what choices we have. The first is that of King Herod and the leaders. You see, Herod said, "Go tell me where he is, because I want to go and worship him too." But if you read the next few verses, you find out that Herod tries to kill Jesus. Herod doesn't want to give up his being king. He wants to get rid of this other king, because I'm the king. I don't want to know. He's just like Simba. I don't want that king. I want to be king. Well, the religious leaders aren't quite that bad. They don't want to kill Jesus. What do? Nothing. They say, oh, the king will be born just down there, Hillary's boat harbour, actually 10 km away, just down the road, and that's it, I don't care. Send the magi who've travelled 1,500 kilometres, send them down to Hillary's, but we'll sit here and do nothing. It's easier, isn't it, doing nothing? That's what the religious leaders do. Both Herod and the religious leaders reject God's born king. They're not interested in him. And I want to suggest that we've got to be careful we don't turn out to be like that. Because sometimes we love the sentiment of Christmas, peace, joy, love, family, holidays, Boxing Day test matches. We love the sentiment of Christmas. But we can easily miss the point. We end up being like Simba. We actually don't want the king. We just like what we can have. We like being in charge ourselves. But that's no way to treat any king, especially God's king. So we come to the response of the Magi, these wise men from the east. Look at verse 11. Look what they do. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and myrrh. Worship. Worship simply means to give someone their worth, to acknowledge that they are more worthy than you are. Have a look at this picture up here. Which person in the picture is the most worthy? Which one's the most worthy? The one in the middle. How do we know that the one in the middle is the most worthy? He's the highest. Yeah, the one in the middle is the highest because he's the best. Well, when the Magi come to Jesus, they get as low as they can go. They bow down flat on the ground. And what they're saying is that we are low and you are high. You are way more important than us. It's called worship. It's saying, I know that I'm not as important as you. That's what the Magi do. But not only do they show their respect and say, we're low, you're high, but they bring really expensive gifts. They bring gold and frankincense and myrrh, and they bring these really expensive things, and they give them at the foot of the king, of Jesus. Why? Well, they're not trying to buy the king's respects, like I did with my teachers at school when I gave them presents, hoping they'd give me better marks. What they're doing is they're saying that everything we have is yours. You use what I have the way you want to. Think about it like this. Australian cricket team has some great cricketers in it. When they come to the cricket team, they bring a lot. Johnson brings his moustache. fast bowling, intimidatory tactics and plenty of wickets. But he's not in charge. He doesn't tell the captain when he's going to bowl. He submits to the captain. He says, well, I'm here to bowl. You tell me when and I'll do it. And Michael Clark, well, he's the captain. And he tells Mitchell Johnson, he tells Ryan Harris, Nathan Lyon, Mitchell Marsh, Shane Watson, when and what to do. Now, they contribute. They've got stuff. And what they do is they come to the team and they say, Mr. Captain, you use our gifts however you want to. That's what the Magi do. They come to Jesus and they say, you are worthy, you are high, we are low. Here's everything we have. Use them how you want. That's what it looks like to worship the King. So if Jesus is God's born King, then surely he's the one we want to give our lives to, the one who we want to control us, to use for good things. He's the one we want to bow down to and worship. Acknowledging that he is high, we are low. He is worthy, we're not worthy. We need a shepherd. And we acknowledge that Jesus is the shepherd, the one who brings God's people into his kingdom. Herod died within 2 years of this reading. Jesus is still alive. He is still the king. And so this Christmas, I want you to seek out the king, bow in worship, and offer him all that you have in service of him. Happy Christmas.